Hi there. Welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett, and this is Empower Radio. Or maybe this is Empower Radio, and I'm Wendy Garrett. Oh, yeah. Tomato, tomato. Hi there. Hope you're having a good day, whatever you're doing. I hope that life is treating you well, and you are experiencing some of the really amazing, neat, phenomenal, unexpected quirks that we all get to, I guess, stumble across every now and then, and maybe they're happening more frequently now. I've noticed that a lot of people are saying that they've had experiences that they really before had maybe discounted or been too afraid to really admit that that might be possible. And I think there's a lot of that going on. One of the things that a lot more people are becoming comfortable and familiar with is the ability to connect with their pets on a different level and maybe a more intimate, personal level. And one of the people I think is really phenomenal in being able to express and share that connection is Madeline Walker. I talked with her. She has some other books out. The Whale Whisperer was the one I think that kicked it off. But Your Pet's Past Lives is the one we're going to talk about today and how they can heal you. And the past life issue is really, it's phenomenal. In India, they have volumes of records and accounts of reincarnations and how they've documented it, and they've been able to trace and validate and confirm that this happened for these people. We're just beginning to really tap into this kind of information. And Madeline, I really like when I've gone through the book and seen how you related this with the pets. To me, it's so, so clear that there is a connection, that they are giving us valid and valuable information when they share their stories to help us make connections that maybe we wouldn't make any other way. So hello again and welcome back.
Thank you so much for inviting me back. It's great to be on the show.
When you were working on this book, what was the one story you knew you had to tell? If anything else stood out, what was the one you really wanted to get across?
Oh, gosh, well, all of them. That's why they're included. There were so many that I wanted to include, so to illustrate just how incredible our animal companions are, that they are just so much more than a dog or a cat or a rabbit or a guinea pig. You know, these are incredible sentient beings that know so much about our soul journeys and are so connected with us on that soul level. And, excuse me, I suppose, there was a story about a lady called Claire and her Springer Spaniel, and that was the most amazing story where when we tuned into, this is a spaniel that was actually in spirit, but its energy came through and helped this poor lady with all of her emotional and physical challenges. And we actually found out that this dog had been her daughter in a past life. And so that was a concept that was fairly new to me. I mean, it wasn't a surprise, but it was obviously very surprising for this lady, because the whole concept of past life and reincarnation is can be challenging for people. But to think that actually we can interchange, we can choose which particular physical vehicle best suits our soul's evolution. So we may well come back as an animal, or we may well have an animal that's been human before. And that was quite surprising for me when this first happened. But I just thought, well, some of us have a huge arrogance that the humans are the sort of master species, and that we, if we were to come back as an animal, that would be a really bad backward step. But I just felt, well, to come back as a dog, what better way to show unconditional love than to come as a dog that just wants to just overwhelm you with its love and its loyalty? They have no problem sharing their unconditional love. And I just realized that that is why this spirit wanted to come back, this soul wanted to come back in the form of a dog, to help this lady really, really work through all the horrors of what happened in the past life when her daughter sadly was killed. And it was an amazing story. So I really wanted to share that one.
Well, it's incredible, some of the details that come through. And, you know, when people wonder, how do you know that this is legit? And my thing is, you see the actions, the response of the pet, and usually they become still. They demonstrate more of an empathic presence, and they look at you, direct eye contact. They tend to settle in a space and allow this to be relayed. And when you're giving them their due and making a true connection, they stay out of the way and they let you do that. And then when you're done, they give you kind of a reward. How do you do that when you first start, when you're learning who the person is, who the animal is? How do you kind of, there's one where you talk about going into the horse. I can't remember the horse's name, a huge horse. And he's very imposing and he's very picky about his, who he lets into the stable. Veterinarians are not one of his favorites. And he works with a young woman. The young woman and the horse were both adopted. He said they had similar stories. I'm trying to figure out.
That's right. Yes, it was the stallion Danny. That's right.
Yes,
yeah,
Danny.
He was quite scary. I mean, he was a really full-on stallion, and it's really a heart-to-heart connection. You just have to just send a cord of love from your heart to the animal's heart, and just send as much love and respect as you possibly can manage along that connection, that cord, that beam, whatever it is you can imagine or visualize. And it's always with love and respect, and allowing them to choose whether they want you to actually work with them, not forcing your will on them, or you know, just marching in there saying, well, I'm gonna heal this. You have to be so respectful and just wait for almost them to give you permission to come into their auric fields and to actually create a bridge of trust that they can open up and share their trauma with you. Because obviously, like some people, they're not always ready to talk about their past traumas. But when you were saying about how do we know this is happening in a past life, one of the very first horses that showed me how to go back to a past life and just rewrite the whole script, just change the whole outcome, what she did was to show me what she looked like in this past life and what her owner looked like. And so I had a very clear, almost like a video clip of the whole scenario and what their color was. This horse was actually a mule in this past life. And the lady owner in the current life, in that past shared life, she was like an old grizzled sort of prospector man in the gold rush. And so I had a very clear picture of what this mule looked like, what their harness looked like, what this man was wearing. And so I asked the lady to imagine what she might have looked like, what the horse might have looked like in that lifetime. And when she could describe exactly what the horse had shown me, and as you say, the horse went very still and very focused, I knew we were all on the same page, because she was getting exactly what I'd been shown. And then I think right now we can work, because the horse amazingly had shown me what happened, and had also shown her owner, who was not exactly incredibly open to all this stuff, but she was so concerned about the horse that she said, okay, well, let's just try anything. I said, well, crazy as it sounds, this is what I'm getting. I believe this is what has happened, but I want you to see whether you can get a sense of what you looked like, what you were wearing, what the horse looked like. And she told me exactly what the horse had shown me. So that was amazing.
Well, and see, that's the way that when we start learning and trying to tune in or become more open and aware of what might be possible, there are pictures that begin to appear and you realize, oh my gosh, somebody is giving me this picture. And is it this little dog sitting right beside me, or this little mouse? Or it's like, wow, how is that possible? And it's incredible just to say, forget how, just do it.
Exactly.
Just go with it. And so that's what, when you describe some of the scenes, there's one here where the dog was in a former life, a little boy. And that was, I thought was a really a nice one. It's a short story, but it was, again, talks about the transmigration of soul, where you come back maybe as another, you know, another form, not necessarily in the same pattern over and over again, same species. I thought that was also fascinating as well.
And also that the dog was deaf because of the awful sounds that it had to hear or witness in that past life, and has chosen to come back, but to be a dog, but also to be deaf. And so I thought that was very interesting.
Well, and is there a pattern when animals have a certain type of disability? Have you noticed that at all, or is it each unique?
There can be. Funny enough, I was talking about, it wasn't included in the book, but I was talking about this the other night to somebody. I met a young horse as a foal, and it had damaged its hind leg quite badly. And as it got older, the vet managed to, heal the leg. The leg healed quite well. But two or three times varying intervals, it damaged that same leg again quite severely. And I thought, what is going on here? And it showed me that in a past life, it had had severe damage to the leg. In fact, I think it had actually had the leg blown up or something like that, but just the leg had been really mortally damaged. And there was some trauma that was sort of locked in that had never quite been released. And so it was sort of replaying that pattern again, trying to work through it until we got to the understanding and how to go back and clear that past life. And from then on, it never damaged its leg again. Its leg had a slight scar. It was a very, very expensive, very beautifully bred horse. But it managed to be sound and to go on and have a happy and healthy life. But it was amazing that it, because the owner kept saying to me, why is it always this leg? Why is it doing this? It seems to have a death wish to this leg. And in some sort of way, at a cellular level, it did, but until we managed to go back and access the memory so we could clear it. So I thought that was very interesting. So there are patterns, and also the connections with their human carers, they can take on physical symptoms from past lives as well. So, for example, if perhaps a horse has been in a barn fire and the owner had been at that time trying to rescue and maybe inhaled smoke or whatever, the horse may well have a breathing problem in this life, but the owner also might have something like asthma. So it's very interesting to really delve a bit deeper to see what the connections are.
Well, and that part is also fascinating. There's another story in there about a woman who is married, and the dog all of a sudden is just absolutely, first it was fine, but absolutely crazy. When the storm comes in, the dog will not sleep alone. And that's another story of a past reconnecting in the present.
Definitely, definitely. That was pretty dramatic. I really wanted to include that one, although it was quite a sensitive subject. I just felt I had to include that because that was amazing that this dog was carrying so much guilt. And when we went back and rewrote what had happened into a much happier and safer outcome, the dog was just completely different and pretty much immediately was fine, was settled at night and really happy and balanced, and everything could go back to normal. So that was amazing.
Let me give a little bit of a detail, leaving out the sordid part. Basically, what happened in a former existence was that the dog, as a golden or as a different type of a lab, was in the presence of this woman, and she was attacked, and the dog was unable to, because he was blocked and ignored, able to protect her. So in this incarnation, the dog felt so much guilt because the two of them are here together again. And there's a storm that brought back that traumatic memory, that former trauma. And then now the dog can't release it until somebody addresses it and acknowledges that this doesn't have to happen again this time. Does that make sense? Is that a good way of maybe consolidating
that?
Yeah,
the thing was, the trigger was the storm, because in the past life, it was a stormy night when she was attacked. And the lady had recently married in this lifetime, and they were all getting on okay. It was fine. And all of the dog had accepted the new husband quite willingly. They did sort of get on fairly well. But when this huge storm kicked off, that's when it just triggered all this fear and all this guilt. And the dog started to just go crazy at night, would just cry and sort of bark and scratch the door and would not settle away from the lady. It wanted to just be on the bed so it could be with her and monitor and make sure she was safe all the time. Well, of course, in their newly marital state, that's not always appropriate to have the dog sort of on the bed, you know, sort of monitoring their every move.
In the middle of everything, yes.
For their love life. So they tried to make the dog settle down downstairs, which it had been until this awful storm. And then that was the trigger. So it was amazing.
Okay. And these are the kind of stories you share that it's not just a one little happenstance. And I assume you have plenty more books to write if you concluded all of them, but it's more like hundreds and possibly thousands if we get people to tell their stories and start doing the math, because that's what's so amazing about it is once you start seeing the connections and how you are actually doing this, then we look at our own instances, our own lives, our own connections and say, wow, I didn't think about it this way. What if I go back and readdress it? You include in the book, how can I learn to intuit my pet's past life? Can people do this?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just about believing and trusting that you can, because the animals really want us to get this. They want us to be re-empowered and to be all that we can be, because they need us to be, if you like, firing on all cylinders so we can really work with them, and obviously to expand that, to start really working with the animal kingdom for the planet. So the animals are so committed to helping us despite what we do to them. That's what, again, you know, just blows my mind, that they are just so willing to forgive us and to show compassion and to really heal us. So we can just sit quietly and just feel our breathing and just be with the animals and just put the question out. Just put the question out in your mind. Have we been together before? And just see what happens. Sometimes you'll just get a little thought that will come into your head, or it may be later on in the day. Perhaps you might be brushing your teeth or in the shower, and you'll suddenly get like a little light bulb and you'll go, oh, where did that come from? Who said that? And that's how it can happen. But it's just being open, showing that love and respect, and just see what happens. Just trust that whatever you get isn't just you yourself being going crazy. I mean, I have to say, I have doubted my sanity a few times when I first started doing this, because some of the things I was being shown or was hearing were just so out there and so new for me to get my head round. But I've just learned to trust it because of the results that we've been getting, thanks to the animals, and just about the amazing techniques that they've been showing me, which have been so effective. So now I don't really doubt anything. I just go with whatever I'm being asked to do. And if it seems crazy, I'll go, well, okay, sounds a bit crazy, but let's just go with it. Let's just do it.
Well, the one story that you include in there, you talk about Sarah and Moon, the horse.
Oh, yeah.
And you said that one really blew you away.
It did, because when we had the one-to-one session, like I did a regression session with Sarah, after Moon had died, and the information that she got about her Native American life and the dates and the tribal names and the designs of the paint on the horses and her feathers and everything, she gave me so much detail. And then she researched it, and she got that the horse that she had in that lifetime was called Hanway. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but that's how I took it. And then she did the research and found out that actually Hanway in Lakota means moon, which was just incredible, because obviously that was her name in this lifetime. So, and when she researched all the information about the warriors and the designs they would paint the horses, was exactly what she saw on the horse Hanway in that lifetime, in that regression. So that was, she got so much detail in the regression and so much that she could prove and through research that showed that everything she got was absolutely correct with the year that she got the names, as I say, what the tribes looked like. It was just incredible. And I was recently actually down with Sarah a couple of weeks ago with her new horses, and I was in Moon's stable, and I really felt Moon coming in. She's got a beautiful Arab filly now called Kalila, and Moon was just there, just really sending her love and filling the whole stable with her presence. It was wonderful.
And that is incredible. Reading it, I mean, it gets goosebumps just hearing it again. But you have a very broad spectrum of information that comes through. And so it's easy to doubt and to think, am I making this up? But when you get those kinds of details, it really, to me, proves that there is more to this than anybody can define or articulate. It just is a part of our knowing, and it isn't there until we need it or we learn to acquire it.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the story, which comes from Sarah's point of view, she sort of wrote her impression of what happened. And when we first met, it was like a demonstration kind of workshop, and she had a photograph of Moon, and she showed me the photograph. And I just wanted to burst into tears. I just wanted to cry. And I said, that was, Moon was still alive then. And I just said, oh my gosh, you've got such a deep connection. I really feel it's not appropriate to share this in front of the whole group as a demonstration. I would love to talk to you about Moon privately. And, you know, we can really delve deeper into your connection. So I think she wondered, because I got so emotional, what on earth was going to come out. But it was just an amazing meeting. And then from then on, sadly, Moon got a very severe bout of colic about a year or so later and had to be put to sleep. But it was just the sort of start of the whole process of understanding about their connection and how much Moon healed Sarah and continues to help her. It's just a fantastic story.
I agree. Yeah, it's amazing. There are more there. And the thing I like a lot of times when people lose pets and they have to go through that process of letting go and grieving and worrying that maybe I did the wrong thing. I euthanized my pet and I should have waited, or I didn't euthanize my pet and they died and were in pain. It's a really tough time for people to go through. But you include the story here of Frodo the Terrier.
Absolutely.
I love the name.
Yeah, that was actually as I was going through the book with the person who was editing it for me. And I had this call. I went to visit this lady, Frodo's owner, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've just got to put this in. So she had been trying to cut back some of the words because I'd sort of written so much. And she was trying to make it a little bit more concise. And I said, I know you're doing this word count sort of thing, but I said, this has got to be in here. So I wrote it and I sent it to her and said, oh, you're absolutely right. We've got to include that because so many of us feel such guilt and it's such a difficult time. It's such a difficult decision to make. But I really feel that the animals tell us when they're ready to go. And I feel it's like a final gift we can give them so they don't have to suffer. They don't have to linger like so many of us humans have to. Obviously, because of the ethics, it becomes a very, very sensitive, difficult subject. But with Frodo, I felt the information that came through from Frodo was wonderful because when I arrived there, she was really not coping well. And she showed me a photograph of Frodo the day before he was put to sleep and then another one an hour before he was put to sleep. And I could see how he had deteriorated and how his expression was definitely holding more, not exactly severe pain, but quite a lot of discomfort. He'd had a very large tumour that had grown on his side, and he'd had two or three massive operations. He was now 15, or then 15 rather, and there was this decision, do we put him through that big operation again, and it may well come back. And the decision was made because really the vets felt that he was just too old and it would just be too much for him to go through. And the message I got was, because she was asking herself, did I leave it too long? Should I have left it a bit longer? What did I do? Did I get it right? Did I time it right? And the message I got from him was that, it sounds a bit corny, but what he said to me was, without any doubt, you timed that to perfection, to the second. Any longer, it would have become much more painful and much harder to cope. And he was actually thanking her for giving him that release. And it was so emotional. But also what I wanted to include in there was the question of who's waiting for our animals? Or when we actually pass into spirit, who's waiting for us? Is there a friendly face to guide us? And what Frodo showed me was a black dog that was running around wagging its tail, and the owner was able to identify that as a dog they'd had several years before. But then he showed me, which was when it got really emotional, but in the nicest way, he showed me his head being cradled by these beautiful hands. And I knew they were a man's hands, but they were very, very delicate, very gentle, the most gentlest hands I think I've ever seen. And I could see a signet ring with some initials on them. So I described what I'd seen on the ring and the hands. And as the owner said to me, it's my grandfather. I got, it's your grandfather. And the love that came through was just like a tsunami of love. And I just couldn't stop crying, but it was because it was so beautiful. So then the owner was crying, so we were all crying, but it was so lovely. And she was so happy to know that Frodo was literally in the best possible hands, being guided and being healed and being loved, and also as a conduit to show the love that was being felt by the grandfather through the dog. It was just wonderful.
And see, that's the stuff that is so incredibly affirming, that this particular way of being, our life, is just one way, that we have many ways of expressing and living and going on, and it doesn't end just because the body stops breathing.
Absolutely.
That's so wonderful to hear those stories and those affirmations, those confirmations from people who've had this experience. And yeah, listening to you, of course, I'm teary, and it's like, you know, it makes you do that because it's a heart connection, because that's your body saying, aha, this is real. I connect. Yeah. And that's what happens with this. Madeline's website, if you want to check out An Exchange of Love, you can check that out. She's got a lot of wonderful information there on her courses, on the services she offers. And we're going to take a break here and come back and talk about, she has some cards to work with now that are out. And these are absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous healing cards. And we didn't get into that. There's also a lot of healing that you do. And one of them was working with a person who had... I think working with the aura and helping her to strengthen the aura. We didn't talk about the details of how that goes on, but I'd like you to include that when we come back and talk more. Cool. And if you're listening, thank you so much. Again, the book we're talking about is Your Pet's Past Lives and How They Can Heal You with Madeline Walker. Stick around. We've got more good information coming your way.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude! What happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six...
ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better healthcare. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
People have all kinds of excuses for not saving energy. I didn't plug it in. I'll turn it off later. It's not my music. It's just one phone charger. So we don't have those Energy Star appliances. So that old window leaks. How much energy and money could the new ones really save? Maybe it's time to stop making excuses and start doing some simple things to save the energy and resources we can.
Because a little here and a little there can add up to a lot later. And you just never know what people will need in the future. My name is
Sarah, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hi there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. We're talking your pet's lives, your pet's past lives, as a matter of fact, and how they can heal you. That's the name of the book with Madeline Walker, the author of The Whale Whisperer, and her site, Exchange of Love, has all sorts of information. She's an animal communicator, horse and rider, trauma consultant, human empowerment coach, pretty much many hats.
Lots of hats.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of hats, lots of talents, lots of opportunities to make connections for people that they're just kind of trusting. They know they're getting something, but may need a little bit of filling in the blanks, and you can help them with that. What I wanted to also get into is the Reiki aspect of this, the energy work, some of those things that you've also been given information from the animals you work with on how to connect the dots on that for their human companions. Is that a good way of addressing that?
Yeah, I don't do Reiki as such, but I do work with energies. But again, I'm pretty much always guided by the animals. Even if people come to me without their animals, there's usually either my animal guides or there's another animal that seems to be around them that will help. But I also work with the angelic realms, so I feel Archangel Michael comes in quite a lot, and I feel that he actually marries the energies of the animals together with angelic energies beautifully. It seems to be a lovely combination of how to help people. So I also work with something called light crystal energy, which they are etheric crystals, but they are somehow very effective as well. And I'm just completely guided by whatever comes to mind as to how to visualize implanting them within people or animals or environments, because they're really good at helping clear negative energy lines in a house or all those sorts of things. It's quite incredible. So I love to work in that way as well. So I just I feel that I've got quite a lot of strings to my bow, but I weave my own sort of mix. It just creates whichever, it's like it's tailor-made to each individual animal or human. And I just go with, I just do as I'm told, basically. Whatever comes in, I just think, okay, I'll do my best. And, you know, fortunately, it seems to help and to work. And that's really all that matters.
Well, and that part of it is, I think a lot of this stuff we don't really have a language for. We're learning that. And so by trying to limit it with these wonderful little definitions and a linear way of thinking, we lose some of our abilities. We have to just wing it. And somehow, you know, it helps to be an abstract thinker to be able to make connections that some of these things require. At the same time, I think once you start doing that and getting rewarded with seeing results, then you realize, hey, there is something to this and I can do it myself as well. What's the most, I think, the challenging thing for people to start with? Because you offer details of how they can make their own connections and how they can possibly tune into a past life. We'll talk about the cards in a minute. Okay, I promise. I know I teased that, but...
It's okay. I think it's just trusting. I think it's just trusting. And you'll say, well, it's just my imagination or I'm just being silly. It is, in a way, it is your imagination to start off with, but that's, if you could never imagine yourself doing anything, you would never do anything. So it's just stretching those muscles, and everybody can do this. I'm not special. What I'm helped to do is special, but I'm not the special one. I've just become very, very open and trusting in the guidance. And if you're always working for the very highest good of all, then I don't think you can really do any harm. But it's just going with it, just trusting it, maybe just making, I mean, I suggest to people if they sit with their animal, perhaps have a notepad and a pen and just scribble down whatever comes to mind, however jumbled and silly it might seem. It might not make sense at the time, but when you look back at it, it might make sense at a later date. So it's always important to just go with it, really. Just trust yourself and allow that openness of your heart, and I don't think you can go far wrong. And very often, you know, you'll get some amazing. When I run courses where it's lovely to have people that are complete novices that are barely opening to all these concepts, that can go away after a day when they found that they can get messages from animals, they can actually hold a photograph and tell somebody information from the photograph, and they're going, but I can't believe I'm saying this. Where did I get that from? And the owner's going, yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, that's right too. And they're going, but how did I do that? And I said, because you just tried. You just opened up and did it. And it's just lovely to see their smiling faces and to know that they can be even more aware of just how amazing animals are and how important they are to our lives.
Okay, I want to tell one more story before we get into the other things that you have going on. Zappa.
Yeah.
I like that. I love that. I love the whole storyline of how that happened. And we get caught up with all the drama, but when you see the thread of where this story goes, you realize it's just part of this reality. It's part of life. It helps us to learn how to deal with our emotions and all the things that happen, good, bad, and indifferent, that we're here to go through. And Zappa kind of illustrates that beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, we've been on such a journey, and the journey is still continuing, because I believe, as I write it in the book, that he's come back as this other cat now called Giza. And Giza's with me now, obviously, but he's been through a very traumatic road accident, and he's survived that. And unbelievable and just amazing how he's coping, and he's just back hunting mice and climbing trees, and he's just incredible. So it's been a very, very long, involved journey with Zappa and now Giza, because in Zappa's previous lifetime, where he was also called Zappa, a partner that I had actually shot him, and that was the end of our relationship, because I just couldn't believe that he'd actually done that to my beautiful cat. And so when he came back to me, he was a very feisty little kitten, and he always was feisty for the 17 years that we had him. He was not a cuddly cat. He had commanded utmost respect, and he was such a character, and we loved him because of that, really. He had a real attitude. But when he died, he had a massive stroke, and again, he showed me that he'd had enough. He just looked at me, and he couldn't stand, and he'd lost all his balance, and the whole of his left side of his head had all sort of sunken in, and so he couldn't eat, he couldn't hold anything in his mouth, and he just looked at me and as though to say, I've had enough. So with sort of great sadness, we had him put to sleep. But when I brought him back to bury him in the garden, he lay in his box, and he just looked so peaceful. It's almost like he was smiling. And I said to him, please come back. If you want to come back and share some more of your life with me, I would so love to have you to come back. And really, it was a matter of weeks. It was really not long at all. I just called in on my friend, a veterinarian, and I told her that, you know, 2 or 3 months before Zappa had died, and she knew Zappa by reputation. And she said, well, you better look in the corner of the kitchen, because we just had some kittens born last night, and there was Giza. And I just took one look at him and thought, oh, okay, you're standing out. She said, well, obviously then they were tiny, tiny kittens, but every time I called back in again, I had a sort of an update as to how they were growing and how the litter was progressing. And he just stood out a mile. There was just something about him. And he just had this presence. And when I brought him home, the dogs just looked at him and went, oh, you're back. And that was it. He just spat at them, fluffed himself up like a little puffer fish. And they backed off and went, whoa, okay, we know who you are. And it was just amazing. And he's such a character. He's a lot softer, and he is more cuddly, but he's still a very independent spirit. So it's great to have him back.
Well, okay. So there are wonderful little connections that tell us that life goes on in whatever form it continues. And eventually we'll connect our dots.
Absolutely.
Right now we're on the learner's curve, but I also want to get, you've got these beautiful cards. And first, thank you. The book, I love the book. I love the stories. And these things are in my life as well. And that's why I try to connect dots for people to say that this is real. It isn't your imagination. And when you write a book and you're able to give people some kind of written documentation, because a lot of times that's what we look for, telling the stories that people can look at and go back to and refer to, it gives us tangible effort or tangible evidence that, okay, somebody's taken the time to put this together. Let me see if it works for me. And so that's what you're doing. And I love it. And I also appreciate you for letting me give you on the back, a little note saying, hey, check this out. It's worth its weight in gold. That's what I meant in that
little
paragraph.
Thank you so much.
Didn't come out like that, but that's what it meant. So, on that note, though, these cards are absolutely gorgeous. And these are cards that people can work with in terms of connecting with their own maybe animal spirit, totem animal, just their wild, even if it was a past life. It really helps to have something like this to focus on and get you in that zone of feeling beyond what this body is.
Absolutely. I mean, they're called empowerment cards, because with all the, I mean, there are domestic pets. There's a dog and a cat and a guinea pig. I wanted to try and include as many different sort of species to hopefully resonate with as many people as possible. I mean, there's marine creatures, there's reptiles, you know, there's birds, all sorts. I really wanted to include so many different, as diverse as possible, of all the different kinds of species of animals that are here on this beautiful planet. There's a cow and there's a dog and a cat, as I said, and there's a picture of my dog in there on the card that is all about releasing guilt. And there's a picture of her looking really mournful on there. And I'm going, she really isn't that sad, but it was such a, I don't know why she was looking quite so mournful in that shot, but I sent the photograph to this amazing artist. I've got to mention him, Richard Crooks. He's just incredible. He's done the most fantastic job with these cards. And so the biggest message from the animals is about empowerment, about, as I said before, helping us to be the best we possibly can so that we can really be effective to reconnecting with the all and understanding that we are all one, every single living thing on this planet. We are all connected, and that's what the animals want us to get back on that same page as Mother Earth, because through westernization and materialism, we've become so disconnected from nature and the rhythms of the planet, and so the animals are the ones that are kicking us at the backside to getting us back on track. So these cards are all very positive. They're just messages from they're called animal whispers, and there are messages from animals that I've personally connected with or ones that I've connected with remotely. But a lot of the photographs are actually of the animals that has given me that message, which is wonderful. So there are pictures of whales that I've connected with, a whale shark that I swam with, even a moray eel that I met that was a bit scary, which taught me about boundaries. So it was great to have the picture of this stunning but scary moray eel on the moray eel card. So there's all sorts in there.
Now, if people want to see them, I will direct them to your page and my page on Facebook, because there you can get a glimpse of it. When you're talking about animals like, you know, chickens, cattle, pigs, the whole nine yards, domesticated animals aren't necessarily any lesser than the wild, like a whale or
dolphin. No, I mean, there's a card for a fly, because I've had the most profound messages from just an ordinary house fly. And now I suppose it's a bit like the Buddhist sort of ethos. I find it hard. I couldn't kill an ant or a fly. You know, I just have to find a way of perhaps asking them to go outside of the house if they're invading my house. But, you know, that because I know that they all have the most amazing messages if we allow them to share them with us.
Well, that part of it, there's a book called Kinship with All Life that's absolutely fabulous too. Great. And he talks about the fly there too. And I also had my own, little experience. I don't remember if I'd read the book or how it came about, but it was one of those moments where the epiphany came. There was a fly buzzing around the house, and I'm like, okay, if you would like to go outside, sit on my finger, and I will take you to the door, because I really don't think your odds are good if you stay in here. Mm. And I was shocked, because the fly, just without hesitation, came and landed on my finger, and I immediately, okay, in disbelief, like, wow, and went to the door and let him out. But that was the first time of connecting that. And you can't connect with all of them, just, you know, so don't feel bad. But there are some that are receptive and trusting, and they do allow you to make the connection. It's just that when that happened, it was an immediate epiphany of maybe I need to make more effort at doing these kinds of things and find out where it will go, instead of saying, oh no, just some people can do it and I can't do it.
But what a gift that fly gave you. It just was a catalyst to open you up to the possibility that if you just try and be open, you know, we are limitless, really. We only limit ourselves with our belief systems. You know, it's only us that limits us. If we just choose to be open, there's no end to what we can do. The power of our minds, I think we've barely scratched the surface of it. That's literally mind-blowing. But if we just open up, it's just wonderful what can happen.
Well, there are so many times when I have had opportunities to make other connections, and it's been, you know, maybe something because of a trauma or some upheaval in my life. And then that has brought me to these moments where when the worst is happening, and yet I have the best connection with my pets or my animals. And so I think really a lot of that is a way of saying that they're here for us. And sometimes we don't appreciate that until things turn gloomy or, you know, a lot of the stories in here, when you're talking about the healing that goes on, both of the individuals, whether it's a pet or the person, have had a traumatic past that's being healed through the present moment. And I think that's a profound relief and release and revelation, as a matter of fact, too, when you look at these stories and realize, oh my gosh, this trauma has continued to be released now. And it, if you don't do it now, then it'll come around again. Have you noticed that?
But not all past lives are traumatic. There was a, just going back to the book briefly, there was a story in there of a horse called Raoul and Kate, and they went back to a past life to reclaim their connection, their skills in horsemanship and sense of being totally at one, because they couldn't understand, Kate couldn't understand where she got this love of horses, because her family lived in the city. They were totally not into animals at all. And she was like a little alien that had been born into that family. And poor Raoul had had a terrible time as a stallion in Spain, and he'd been rescued and brought back to the UK. And so both of them were a bit lost. They'd come together, but they couldn't quite make the connection. They were both feeling very frustrated. The horse was very fearful. But when they went back to the past life where they were together, man and horse, in total unison and total harmony, they brought back that love and that connection, and it completely changed their relationship. And so it was lovely to go back to a really positive, you know, happy, empowered past life to bring those skills back. So that was a lovely one to include, because it shows that sometimes we can go back to reclaim our wisdom, our skills, our latent talents. We can actually go and, you know, get them back so we can actually use them and work with them in this lifetime.
Well, that's another thing you address in the book, the time factor, you know, past, present, future. You can look into the future of, is a pet coming back? Is this going to, you know, is this going to recreate itself for me? And you talk about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Very often they'll show me either from spirit or from in the physical. But very often people ask me to do readings from animals that are passed over, and they want to know if they're coming back, and if so, what might they be, or what might they look like? And sometimes they give me a picture. I think there was a cat called Smokey who had died, and I did a reading for him in spirit for the owner, and I was shown very clearly a picture of a black kitten. And I emailed off the reading to this lady, and really, so quickly, she emailed me back and said, "You never guess what? I've just finished reading the reading of your email, and there's a black kitten at the window, and I've just let him in, and he just walked in here as though he owns the place, and I think he's here to stay." And that was just instant. That was amazing. And I went, "Oh my gosh, that's incredible!" You know, just wonderful.
Like it had just been plopped down from a cloud.
Yeah, he just literally was at her window meowing to come in, and she said, "Well, where did you come from?" Because he wasn't there before, and she finished reading what I'd emailed her, and there he was at the window, and she went, "Wow, that's pretty impressive." I was pretty impressed. I thought that was amazing.
Absolutely. That's that perfect timing thing.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Now I also want to share that you offer correspondence courses. This is coming up, a correspondence course on soul level animal communication and healing.
Yeah, absolutely. I've just designed a course because I do run courses that are, you know, internationally, but not everybody can get to the places where I'm running a retreat or a course. So I just thought I really want to share this with people on this soul level, that it's, you know, we are all on this journey together, and to help people connect with the animals better, just to create that bridge of love and understand our own pets, but also to help other animals around the world would just be wonderful. So I've just written the course, and people can contact me and find out how to. There's a level one and a level two, and then a practitioner's course if people want to actually do this for a living, which goes into some quite intensive deep stuff, which is great. But the animals, really, I felt them around me, and I was just asking them to help me write the course, and I just sat there, and they just said, "Right, you need 6 modules in each level, and this is what they're going to be." I went, "Okay." So I was just typing away, and they were telling me exactly what they wanted me to share with people. So that was easy. I just typed it out, and I just again did as I was told.
Okay, Madeline's books are An Exchange of Love and The Whale Whisperer, Your Pet's Past Lives, and now The Cards. When are The Cards coming out?
Oh, well, unfortunately, The Cards aren't going to be out till November, I don't think. I think they'll be ready in October, but you can pre-order either from the publishers or from Amazon. The publishers are findhornpress.com. But yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait. I'm getting so impatient. I want them out now. I've been wanting to do a card set for so long, but to be able to work with Richard on them is just wonderful. And also have the CDs, which are channeled meditations from the animals, which have sort of become very, very powerful tools to help people release any anxieties or fear. And that's been wonderful because the guy who's done all the music and sound for me is a guy called Jerome O'Connell, who's just phenomenal. So that's been a lovely collaboration with not only the animals, but also with very talented artists. And that's been a huge privilege to be able to work with them.
Well, one of the things I like is your ability to connect with all different kinds of animals in different environments. And the whales are just absolutely incredible. What is that like?
Almost indescribable. I was out in Dominica in last December with swimming with sperm whales, and they gave me loads more information that I want to write a sequel to The Whale Whisperer, because I've had so many more adventures and so many more wonderful messages. And I was sort of asked, you know, have I been scared? And the mother sort of came a bit too near. She was huge and her baby wanted to play with me, and that was a bit scary. But just being eye to eye with such an unbelievably huge creature that could literally swat you like a fly, and to know that they're showing you such gentleness and such compassion and acceptance for allowing you to actually be in their aura, if you like, it right next to them, is just the most humbling privilege. And something that, you know, those memories of that heart-to-heart connection is something that I will treasure all my life. Just the most amazing experience.
Do they have a special message?
Well, it's said that they hold the Akashic records, which are supposed to be the records of everything that we've ever done and ever will do. And they gave a message that they wanted to call them the Library of Love. And I thought that was so beautiful. I thought that was a wonderful way of describing what the Akashic records are. And really, love is all they want to really express. They told me that they were going to, they imbue every molecule in the ocean with their love. When the oceans reach the shores will start to absorb their love and be healed. And I just thought, you know, we have decimated their numbers and treated them in such a barbaric way, and it's still continuing. You know, they had the International Whaling Commission meeting in Panama this last week, and they've been deciding the whaling quotas, and there's all sorts of politics going on where they are still allowing whaling to continue, and it's just heartbreaking. And of course, so much of it is to do with money and power and politics, and it's so criminal, I think, because of what these beautiful creatures are. You know, these people have no idea what they're dealing with. These are the most amazingly evolved beings, far greater than we are.
Well, I think part of it is that the work that you do helps demonstrate that there is more to whatever it is that we are around than meets the eye, whether it's a dog, a cat, a cow, a rat, a whale, that there is more here. And if you go beyond that to trees and rocks and mountains and air. So I think that we have to start somewhere, and you're giving people a place to start as a launching pad to say, okay, what else can I do to connect better to what I am exposed to every day? And I appreciate what you're doing. Madeline Walker, the author of Your Pet's Past Lives and How They Can Heal You. We're going to wrap up in about 2 or 3 minutes here. Is there anything you'd like to end with?
I just want to say, just love your animals. Just open up your mind that they are so much more than you think they are. And the minute you do that, then they'll start to prove to you just how amazing they are.
Okay, so The Cards come out, and it's perfect timing, I noticed, for Christmas gift giving.
Well, that would be wonderful.
So Findhorn Press is the place to connect for that. Or obviously you can connect with us as well. And Madeline's page, I'm sure we'll have the update the moment they become available. Pre-ordering is also great too. But I really appreciate being able to connect with you and have you share your stories, because these pets have to do something that we can't. And that's get through on that spirit level to a larger, I guess, a larger purpose. They speak to a larger purpose. And sometimes they can do that much better in just sharing their lives with us and being present. Something to think about. Thanks for listening. I'm Wendy. This is Conscious Living on Empower Radio. Check Madeline Walker out on her page and Exchange of Love. Have a great day.
This is to my best friend. You know who you are and you know where you are at. My friend, it seems like it was just yesterday when we learned to ride our bikes together, to speak our native language. We did everything together, going to school, getting our first jobs. Then came the time when you said you had a mental health problem. Well, like yesterday, I am here for you, and together we will recover.
They'd be there for you. Shouldn't you be there for them? To learn more about mental health problems, go to whatadifference.samhsa.gov/native. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.